Blog Talk Radio.
You are now tuned in to Reality and Relationships every Thursday from 8 to 10 p.m. with KL and Tiffany Velvet, GQ Palace Radio. It's better, baby.
Better than this.
We've had some ups and downs, made a lot of bad mistakes, but we've always had some good times, and through it all, you helped me down.
Reality and relationships.
Baby, you've always helped it down. Oh, yeah.
There were times when I was afraid and wanted you to leave. But you stayed right here by my side. You never let me go. You always stayed around.
You are now tuned in. Reality.
Stayed around.
And you've been so good to
and
me.
And it doesn't matter. I know whatever comes our way.
Welcome to Reality and Relationships. I'm your host, Tiffany Braxton Belvin, and my co-host, Mr. KL Belvin, should be joining me soon.
This is Hello. Second...
Hey, darling. You're
hey,
there.
Hey, what's going on? Yeah, I'm here.
I was just saying, you should be joining me soon, because this is the road that you're having technical difficulties. What's going on over there?
I was having some computer issues. Some PC deficiencies. I had to take some computer Viagra. I'm good.
Computer Viagra. Okay, that's a first. You got to get the computer up.
See, I wasn't going there. Something like
that. Oh, come on. Come on.
Something like
Niagara.
That. Yes, my computer wasn't sustaining. How we doing, love?
I'm doing good. I'm sitting here with your child. She's grabbing my earpiece, so I'm trying to fight with her because she's having the ball.
Right. She wants to get on the air. She didn't say, you didn't announce me. And KL Belvin, our special guest host. You may hear her chime in from time to time on things that get her a little upset. Yes. So, or that, or she's drooling milk. You won't really be able to know the difference, but you will hear from her because she will be heard. That's her thing.
Yeah.
We want to welcome everybody that's tuned in to Reality and Relationships, which we do every Thursday night from 8 to 10 right here on GQ Palace Radio on Blog Talk Radio. And we appreciate if you have tuned in from the website. And if you have called in, 646-200-3838. We thank you for calling in and listening. And remember, if at any time tonight you want to get in to talk to us, make sure that you just press 1 and the host will take your information. Let us know that you're on and you can join into the conversation. Brother Q, if you're listening in tonight, try to call in around 830, 840. Join us. I'm sure you will enjoy some of the conversation that Tiff has set up for tonight. Plus, we always love hearing from you, but we want to get you in early so we can talk to you. So if you're listening tonight, Brother Q, call in around 8:40 so we can get into a real conversation, and Tiff will set the table, and we'll take it from there. Everyone else, same thing. If you want to call in, feel free. So, darling, how was your week?
My week has been very interesting. As I've mentioned a few shows before, I've been concentrating on getting our apartment in order.
Yes.
So we have some furniture delivered earlier this week. My mother-in-law came by with a friend and actually helped straighten some things out for me, helped carry the TV and all type of different things, swept, vacuumed. They were very, very helpful, and we got our living room in some working order. And it actually is starting to look like a living room now. I have to say, I'm apologizing to my husband officially. I've already apologized. I'm going to apologize again. I had made a purchase without his input on.
I had input. I said, I'm going to let you rock. And I trust what you purchased because, you know, we talked about what I needed. So you did have my input, but go ahead.
Well, I purchased a desk because right now Big KL is in the second bedroom, which will be for little KL.
That's my office.
Right.
That's my Braven Publishing office right now.
Right. So I'm just trying to give him his eviction papers so that I can start moving her stuff in. But in the meantime, I had to purchase a desk for Big KL, and the desk wasn't to his liking. Let's just say that. I particularly like the desk. I think that it's enough space if KL gets organized, because KL and even his mom and his mom's friend said he's completely disorganized. If I took a picture of what his desk, well, not his desk, his table looks like now and posted it, we would probably get some really strong feedback.
First of all, cluttered desk is a busy desk. And second, how you see my desk doesn't mean how I see it and how I work with it. That doesn't justify.
I understand how you see it. But
and
when
it works
you're talking,
for me.
When you're talking about living, our apartment is not small per se, but when you live in an apartment, it's small compared to a house, because I've owned houses. And in a house, you're able to stretch out and you can make do and, you know, things are what they are. But when you live in an apartment, you have to work accordingly. You can't just say, this is how I'm going to leave my desk because this is how I like it. And it looks like somebody threw a bomb on it. So especially if your desk is going to be in one of the main rooms, like the living room.
All
when you first walk into
Francis.
Our apartment, you're walking into the living room. Someone doesn't need to see the way your table looks in our living room.
I grant you all of that. But if anybody goes to Tiff's page on Facebook, Tiffany Braxton Belvin, and look at our living room, you will see the tiny desk
it's
to the
not
left.
Tiny. And even your mom said it's not tiny. It's enough
both
space.
Both of y'all
and
are
you know
under
what's
6 feet.
Even Chrissy said,
both,
because my
and
friend
Chrissy's
Chrissy
under
came
6 feet,
by.
Who's under 6 feet. And again, y'all are under 6 feet. Y'all are not my size. And I am not going to sit in a tiny desk like I'm in school. Now, as I said, it is a great desk for Tiff. It is a great desk for KL when she gets a little older. But it is not a business desk. There's a difference. And now I'm not arguing that when if it was a different business desk, it could be kept a certain way. But at the end of the day, the desk that Tiff purchased was not a desk that was going to fit someone my size, and it has nothing to do with how I would have kept it. It has to do with the shape of the desk itself. So I accept your apology as you try to justify your purchase. But at the end of the day, it wasn't going to work. But
anyway,
it is what it is. We'll figure it out.
Yes, we're working on some options as far as keeping the desk for myself and getting KO another desk, or, you know, just what we're going to do in the meantime. But we have time. It's not like we're rushing little KO out of our bedroom yet, because she's still in the bedroom with us. Like, we can keep an eye on her in the middle of the night. But in the meantime, we're trying to figure some stuff out.
And that's another part in relationships that you have to understand, is that it is okay to not be happy with some things that's going on, but then you actually have to find some way to make it work. If there is no particular option, you have to figure out what it is that's going to happen. I think sometimes folks will just hold their ground. I don't care. I don't like it. If that's going to be the only option, then I'll figure out a way to make it work. If you ask me, do I like it? No. But that doesn't mean that you can't try to figure out a way to make it work. So another reason why we brought that up is that, you know, sometimes you got to figure out what it's going to be, because you don't have the money to go out and just buy another desk. So you have to figure out how that's going to play itself out, which we will see. And we'll come back on the air and let folks know.
Of course. Also, I've been planning, well, Kale and I are going to Seaford, Delaware this weekend for the Seaford, Delaware African American Festival, and we went last year, which the first day is Friday, right, honey?
Tomorrow, 5 o'clock. What are the events from 5 to 9 tomorrow, and then Saturday, I think it's from 10 to 6 or 10 to 7. But I know it's all day Saturday, but tomorrow I think it's just 5 to 9.
Okay, and that's at the Seaford, Delaware Sports Center. So we'll be there. Last year we were there, and we got rained on, and not just a little sprinkle. It was a complete downpour the first night. The rain was torrential, and by the time we got back to the hotel room, we were soaked from head to toe, sneakers, socks, underwear, just everything.
Everything but the books. We're able to save the books.
Yes, thank God. Oh, my goodness. But it was something else. The heavens just opened up. There was no warning. There was no, it's that.
No. There was warning, but you didn't know. Because remember, we were sitting there, and somebody said it's supposed to rain tonight. And we were like, okay. We started seeing the clouds rolling in, and we were like, okay, well, it looked like it was going to pass over because it started to clear up. Well, no doubt. Once we thought it had passed over, all of a sudden the heavens just opened up.
Right.
It was like, it looked like perfect storm, and it was like, we're going to make it out. Nah.
No,
you ain't going
nowhere. It did not happen. So this year the forecast is for 85 degrees, I believe, and there's no sign of rain. So I'm happy about that. So we're taking the baby on our first trip together, because the baby and I have gone on trips separately, but this will be our first trip away from home together with Big KL. Next week, KL and I are actually going to Washington State. And you know what's interesting, honey, to get off topic? When I tell people that I'm going to Washington with the baby, everyone automatically thinks Washington, D.C. It's like everyone forgets that there's actually a state of Washington. So I said,
well,
no, I'm not going to
D.C. Folks ain't traveling that far, that's why. Folks of color ain't traveling all the way to the other side of the country. That's near Alaska. Folks of color ain't traveling that far. I mean, some of us do, but for the bulk, Washington, D.C., party, it's Chocolate City. We know about that.
Well, I'm going to Washington State, yes, because I have a friend, Latasha Haskins, who is the director of the Miss Plus USA pageant, and we're going out there to support her. This is her first year, and she's been working very, very hard at it, and I want to see her be successful at it. And actually, there's a few of us going from New York, so I'm looking forward to that. We're going to have a good time. We're only going to be there for the weekend, but it's actually a full week event. But with having a baby, Cleo had mentioned that I should go for the full week, but with having the baby with me and no one there really to assist me, I think that would be a little bit hard. So we're only going for the weekend, so I'm looking forward to that, and I'm preparing for that. So that has been my week, preparation for this week's trip, next week's trip, and, I have a photo shoot coming up. My first photo shoot in 5 years. Would you believe, honey?
Nice. Very nice. Good luck.
My first photo shoot in 5 years. I'm working on some things with the pageant that I am a queen for. For those who don't know, I'm the 2013 American Beauty Plus Ambassador. And I started a contest to offer two young ladies from New York City. You have to be ages 13, 18, and also attending school. We are going to, under our company's name, Brave and Publishing, we are sponsoring two complimentary entry fees to the American Beauty Plus pageant. So if you know anyone within that age range, 13 to 18, living in New York City and attending school, they are eligible, and you can actually go to our Facebook page, which is www.facebook.com/NortheastABP. And basically you submit an essay and also three letters of reference explaining why you would like to be a part of this pageant. And there are five judges. I'll be posting the judges' information shortly, that will decide which two young ladies will be able to compete in the national pageant, which is held in Atlanta, Georgia, each April. So next April, KL, little KL and I, will be headed to Atlanta, Georgia again for the pageant. So that's about it. How was your week, honey?
Oh, man, is it August yet? No. my week was good. I've been between the bowling and working out, just trying to get myself in order. I had a rough workout week the week before, just trying to get myself together, make sure I'm doing something every day in the gym or going bowling or whatever. And then now with the countdown before school is in session, now it's time to start looking at how I'm going to set up my curriculum for at least the first couple of months, have something in place so I go back to school with a working plan and really get myself geared up. So the week has been good. I got a new iPad today, which is needed because I don't really like to borrow. I enjoyed borrowing the school's one last year, but I didn't want to go into this year having the school's equipment and having to erase all that and giving it back. I'd rather just deal with my own, have my own, and go from there. Plus, it helps me out with the business and everything like that. And other than that, really just trying to get geared up for this book event tomorrow. Hopefully it turned out to be fairly good last year, profitable. Hopefully with no rain, it'll be profitable this weekend. And we have 2 weeks later, we'll be back in Delaware. Again, Delaware has been a very good state for us in terms of business. So I'm hoping that continues. tell them, KL, you know. But that's really it. And really just, I fell behind in some of my writing, so that's another thing that I'm going to use the iPad for, is to get situated on my writing and put myself in a position to do more, because I got a deadline. A piece of work has to be done by the end of September, as well as I have to make sure my new book, Lukewarm Saint, the interior, the story is tight, to have that ready for the October-November release. So I'm good. So we got about so for me, it's just been a real simple, basic week. Just trying to get in as much of the that needs to be gotten in. Tell them, KL, before school starts. So But we got like 11 minutes before the 10 minutes before the end of the hour. Why don't you get into the news? Because I believe Brother Q is going to call back in, call in tonight so we can discuss what you're going to discuss, and we can actually add him to the conversation because I like what he brings to the table. So I'm actually want to get him on earlier so we can get into a longer conversation and hear what the brother has to say, because he's been a pretty good caller the last couple of weeks when he's called in with some real interesting things to say. So let's get into the news. I know it's a little depressing, but unfortunately the summertime brings out some of the more crazier situations. So what are we looking at in the news this
Actually, before we get into the news, I wanted to mention I forgot the most important of all of the information. KL and I will be celebrating our 7th year marriage anniversary on the 12th, which I believe is next Wednesday, if I'm not mistaken. And I'm very happy to say that. And I've been posting little tidbit facts about our relationship on Facebook. Each day I post one fact to talk about our relationship and things that we deal with. And it's so funny because you don't realize, I think we need to communicate more, especially couples in general need to communicate with each other more and interact with each other, because I have posted how KL and I, during the winter months, we actually sleep with two separate comforters so that we don't have to fight over the comforters in the middle of the night. And about 3 or 4 other people contacted me and said, you know, my husband and I do that also. And it's so funny because, you know, I came to a realization that we should do that because KL and I used to fight over the covers and they would get twisted up and he would have it and I would have it. I said, you know what, instead of fighting over the covers, let's just have two separate covers. And it's been sleeping bliss ever since. So if you want to keep up on the facts, I'm posting one fact each day until our wedding anniversary, which is August 12th. And you'll be able to see some of the crazy things that people have not known, because we usually open books, but some of the crazy things that people have not known about our relationship. So, here's the news. And, honey, the news is not always depressing. I try to find some news that's enlightening and uplifting. And, honestly, because of the subject that we're going to talk about later on, I wanted to find news that was relevant, not just to the subject, but just to society in general. Because what I'm seeing is society is very broken, and we need to really get it together. It's not just a black thing, a white thing. It's a people thing. And people, to me, have lost their minds. And it's so funny. You know, I have to tell a story. Because when I say people have lost their minds, I have said that I want my own island, truly, because, okay, here we go. The other day, I was going down to a laundry room. One of our neighbors was coming out of her apartment with her two grandsons, got in the elevator, went to the laundry room. Now, the laundry room has a drain in case there's a flood or anything, one of the machines overflow. I turned around, and one of the grandsons, she was behind one of the grandsons. He had his pants down, his little thing hanging out. And I'm like, why does he have his pants down? She's
Call the penis. Call the penis.
She's assisting him.
Little thing. We're adults. It's his little penis, yes.
Anyway, she's assisting him, pulling his pants down, and helping him to
now,
the drain.
Y'all are in the hallway? Where are you
we
at?
We were in the laundry room. So I was I was there to get my clothes, and they came in behind me. And he had his pants down. She's assisting him, and he begins to urinate in the drain in the middle of the laundry room floor. So my mouth is completely open because I'm thinking, we just left the floor where your apartment is. And this boy, he's about maybe 5 or 6 years old, and they were speaking in Spanish, which usually I would have been able to understand, but I really wasn't paying attention. I'm not fluent in Spanish, but I do understand some of it. But I wasn't paying attention, but she was speaking to him in Spanish as we were walking to the laundry room, and then while we were in the laundry room. So I'm assuming he had verbalized that he needed to use the bathroom. I don't understand why she couldn't take him back up to their apartment, which they just left, instead of urinating on the laundry room floor. Because basically all his urine was splattered all across the drain, because the drain's not completely open. So it's urine all over the floor. And I was in awe. I really was. And then I was thinking, look how many times I've dropped a sock, a shirt, anything on the floor. Anyone that would go in and think, oh, the floor is just wet, and just pick the sock, piece of clothes up, whatever, shake it out, and throw it in the dryer. Now you're drying your clothes with somebody's urine on it. And it disgusted me. And I said, you know, I need to get away. I need to get away and get my own island, because people have lost their minds. And I just wanted to say
that. All right, folks listening that have ever lived in the hood, y'all know what go on. Y'all know what go on in the sink at the laundry when you be seeing moms there with the babies or with the little drain. I mean, it's nasty, but I can't lie and say I haven't seen it. And there's times I shake my head and go, you couldn't take a little man outside, you know, or to the bathroom. You know, most of the laundries have bathrooms, but there are some nasty people out here. It's just, come on, man. At least step outside the door, let them pee outside or something. Come on,
I didn't expect it, especially because you had just left your apartment and the laundry room was on the first floor. So it would have taken nothing to go back up to the apartment, let him use the bathroom, and then go outside and do what you have to do. But, you know, sometimes you can't teach people. But anyway, getting back to the news. Now, was it earlier this year or sometime last year? I lost track. We had reported on a story in Michigan where a young lady, 19 years old, her name was Renisha McBride. She had been in a car accident, and she left the scene of the accident to get help, and she happened to go knock on the door of someone nearby, and she wound up being shot in the face by the homeowner and killed. And the homeowner
tried... That was a Caucasian man that got nervous about her knocking on his door at 1, 2 o'clock in the morning
Yes, he said that he thought she was trying to break in, but he never asked any questions. He just pulled up his... And he shot through the door. He didn't even open the door. He actually shot through the door and shot her in the face, and she died. Well, there was an update to the story. The gentleman was found guilty of second-degree murder, manslaughter, and possessing a firearm while committing a felony. So he is actually facing life in prison, which is horrible, because he made a split decision. Who knows? Everyone wanted to make it racial, and I try to stay away from that because you never know what anyone is thinking. But she was a black girl. He was a white man. He never opened his door. He just shot her through the door, never even asked what she was there for. And he's being sentenced on August 21st. And like I said, he is facing life imprisonment for something that could have been prevented if he would have just...
I try to see the bright side almost, and I don't fall right into the racial bag, because we know that race plays an issue with a lot of things, but sometimes the things that we apply race to doesn't necessarily mean that. In this case, at 1, 2 o'clock in the morning, somebody rings your doorbell. You either look through the peephole, look through the window. You try to look to see who's at your door. So to me, just what I understand about people, you took a look somewhere, because you didn't just bust off shots. Now, you might have told the police. No, I'm dead serious. I'm being very serious now. You might have told the police you didn't look and you got nervous and you shot. Most people that I know, that I have come across, myself included, when someone rings your bell at that time, you know it's nothing good. So you're going to look somewhere first, from either safe position, before you even open up your door, because you don't know what it is, to just see who it is. Or you're going to yell out, who is it? You know, who's there? Who? Depending on where you are in the country. Now, depending on what the chick said, depending on how she said it. Obviously, at that point, for you to just start blasting, what is your reasoning? Now, if you said, I looked out the window, I saw something in the hand that looked like a gun, I was defending myself, even though that sounds stupid, I can understand it. Not that I agree with it, I can understand it. But to say, I didn't ask any questions, I just started shooting, well, then you deserve to go to jail for being stupid. because you took someone's life without even checking. So
what
you
the circumstances were.
What the circumstances were. You could have simply looked out your window, called police, said, yo, there's a crazy black chick on my steps. I don't know what that is. I'm not opening my door. But for you to bust off like that lets me know that you were waiting to use that gun. That's how I feel. Now, I can't say it's because she black that you felt carte blanche to go ahead and do it. Also, if she was in a car accident that was close enough for her to walk to your house, you had to hit a car accident. But okay, let's see, assume that you were asleep and didn't. Either way, for you to fire through a door, and maybe I'm sensitive because years ago in 1989, I almost got murdered by some guys who were trying to rob me, who tried to kick open the door where I was working. And when I wouldn't move, they just started busting through the door. And if it wasn't for the grace of God, I wouldn't be here now. So you can't tell me that when you have a weapon, that you didn't stop and think before you let that weapon off. Something drove you. Now, I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt that it wasn't race. Let's just say you're stupid. But to me, I say race played a role in. I think you might have saw a black woman on your steps and whatever. I hope I'm wrong, but you can't tell me that you didn't check. And once you checked, what made you keep shooting? There was no gun. You had no threat.
Basically.
There was no risk to you. None. And she a female. Now, honestly, you look through your people, you look through your window, and a 6'1", 400-pound man like myself is standing on your doorstep. Okay, I can understand you letting off. You might have been watching The Purge on cable. You just lost your mind. Okay. But a woman? Come on, man. Stop. Stop.
Yeah.
So whatever happened to him, I pray to the Lord that, you know, the Lord grants him grace and wherever he's going, whatever happened. But you got to hold that, dog. You got to hold whatever they give you on that.
So something must be in the water in Michigan because this past Wednesday, actually, a 9-year-old boy was stabbed to death at a playground in his neighborhood by a 12-year-old boy that he had met at the playground. So apparently they didn't know each other, and they still don't know what the motive was that the 12-year-old stabbed the 9-year-old, but the 9-year-old died.
He pulled out a knife,
and he repeatedly stabbed the 9-year-old. And the 9-year-old ran to his house where he collapsed and he died.
Back up a second. So The 12-year-old came to the park with the knife?
Apparently, he must have been at the park with the knife. But that's not, you have to listen to the rest of the story. Because what's even more shocking, and I have to say again, our community is broken and it's affecting our children. And people do not realize how bad our children are. And we need to really, really start looking deeper because after stabbing the boy ran, the 12-year-old went to a nearby house and asked the person if he could call the police. So the person, of course, let him in the door because they assumed maybe he needs to call, he was lost, maybe he needs to call a parent, whatever. He called 911 and said, "Hi, I just stabbed someone. Please pick me up and come kill me. I want to end my life."
Wow.
This is the 12-year-old. And the adult that was there, the homeowner, he said at no point did he feel threatened because the young boy was very calm. He was very he seemed lucid, but it was just matter of fact. And then when the police came, he said he spoke really low, really quiet, no type of yelling or anything. He said the only time that he did seem excited is when the police eventually arrived. They went in the wrong direction, and the little 12-year-old boy went to flag them down and said, "Hey, I'm over here. Let's do this. I'm ready." 12.
Wow.
And he's going to, he'll be tried in juvenile court as an adult. I don't know, you know, how that works, but I still can't wrap my mind through the cases.
It means that
if he's found guilty, he's going to
do 6 years, 5 years in juvenile detention, and then at 17, be transferred to adult prison. It also means that he's going to be under the jurisdiction of adult courts, meaning that whatever an 18-year-old, a 17-year-old would have gotten for stabbing a 9-year-old is what he's going to get. And because of the fact that he showed no remorse, it makes it even worse because...
But they're saying that obviously that there's some mental illness and they're going to try to plead insanity. But
they can, but the fact that he called the police and admitted that he did a crime means that he knew what he did was wrong. Now he's done it. See, mental deficiency is if you sit around and say, well, I killed him because he looked like Santa Claus. And you go, what the hell are you talking about? And I'm going to kill him and that dude over there that looked like the bunny rabbit from the Easter Bunny, all of that. So when you do that, then it becomes something different. But when you show remorse, when you can sit there and say, come and get me, kill me because I know I did something wrong, yeah, you might be shook up in your head, but you knew right from wrong, which means you had a choice, and you made a choice. Now, they can argue it, and they might even try to get a reduced sentence where he gets some help. But he's probably going to spend some time with some grown men at 17, at 18. It's not going to be pretty.
You know, over the years, we've listened to different stories in the media where children being tried as adults. I just have a problem with children being tried as adults, especially in situations like this where you find out that there is mental illness because, there were circumstances, he was abused, you know, just different things.
I feel you.
And it's just sad
that
this happened.
But you know what? You could have chose something different. Like,
but
and I know that.
An adult, yes, can choose something different. A child is still a child, and we can't think that a child will think like an adult.
I just don't agree. I feel you, but having taught that age group of my 17 years, 14? Yeah, let's see. Yeah, no, 15. 2 years in high school. So of all the years that I've taught, it's been with that age group, 11 to 13. I've done with the middle school kids all the way through. And one of the biggest problems that people fail to realize with that age group, they are age-wise not old enough to catch up to what their brains are saying and doing. And so, gotcha. And so it's like, they know right or wrong, but they may not have that control to stop themselves on a regular. But with that said, many of them know what they're doing is wrong, and they're willing. Let me say that again. They're willing to face the consequences. Now, why he killed this kid, you got to wait until he says whatever. But you also have to take into account that even though he might have some things that's wrong with him, there's a 9-year-old that's no longer here because of whatever.
Right.
Now, even if there's something wrong with him and he gets an insanity plea, he's still going to do that time in a mental institution until he can prove that he's okay. Either way, it's not going to end pretty for a 12-year-old that kills a 9-year-old because how can you trust him? It's going to take a long time, especially if you got an
right.
ID program, any of the abuse, if it was abuse, if it was heredity. Now, if it's something that's hereditary, now you might have an argument because if you can show that he comes from a long line of people that have emotional disorders and it showed itself because he's a prepubescent teen,
mm-hmm.
so he's at that age where his body is changing, so now some things have happened. As much as people may not want to understand or agree with that, well, then that's something that would speak on his own. That's something different, but we'd have to wait to see. Either way, it's going to be bad for this young man, and I just feel bad all the way around. You say you got another story, right? Because I know Q is supposed to call back again. So tell you what, go ahead and finish up your last news story, and we'll take a break, and then we're going to see if Q is back on the line because we can get into tonight's subject with him with us. So you got
actually, I pulled it out of the headlines because it was something that really it didn't touch home, but it could have. A Brazilian woman searching for her birth mother, once she found her, she learned that the man she was married to was actually her brother.
Wait. A woman looking for her mother.
Yes.
Found her adopted mother or?
No, her birth mother.
But they were separated at birth.
She found her birth mother who gave her up and learned that her birth mother also gave up another child, which was a son. And
those two met each other and married.
They got married and had a child. not realizing that they were related.
And my grandmother taught me about that in 1985 when I was sent to Jersey because I was wilding out here in New York. She said, boy, I don't care what you do down there in Jersey, Pensgrove, New Jersey, by the way. She said, know who you humping. I said, why? She said, because you might be down there humping a sister. And I said, what are you talking about? She said, your dad was down there making babies. So check who you humping because you might be humping family. And sure enough, I was coming across cousins that I didn't know were related to me through marriage, through my father, whatever. And then I found my brother. We played ball against each other, didn't even know we were brothers, and he reached out to me to say, yo, we got the same father. So I definitely understand how this can happen because, as I read on the show, most people don't travel 75 miles from where they were born or whatever. Go ahead, KL.
But, you know, it's funny, and it's the same situation with myself because my biological father, he had children. He actually doesn't know how many children he had. But they were in the double digits with several different women. And I remember growing up, one of my cousins on my father's side said, you know, you have siblings that I do know of, and you guys need to start meeting each other because you don't want to have it make a mistake of them getting together with each other, not realizing that they're siblings. Well, thank God I didn't have that problem because I always like older men, and KL is 9 years older than me, and I'm actually the second oldest of my father's children. So we didn't have a problem with that. But the idea is it happens, and it's crazy. But like they have a six-year-old daughter together, and they weren't legally married, but they plan to stay together because they love each other. Now, that right there, it just, I don't even know what, I think I would lose my mind if something like that actually happened to me. Well, I don't know how I could keep my sanity after that.
Well, next week, we actually, I believe we got to confirm, we have an author coming on next week, Nanette Buchanan. We just got to confirm that she's going to be on. But one of her books discusses that very thing. She actually wrote a book. I believe it's fiction, but it's based on true situations of that same type of situation. So we definitely can't wait to hear what she has to say on that particular subject because I don't know how you rock that. I don't know. Because actually, I believe that's the premise of her book. Like if you're married and you find out that it's family, something like that. But I'm going to let her tell you when she comes on next week. But I don't know what I do. I guess off myself.
I'm so grossed out even thinking about it. Like, you...
Yeah, that's... You just take it and keep... you know what? That's moving on. So listen, it is now 8:43. I don't even want to continue this nasty story. Anyway, it is 8:43. We're going to take a two-song break, and then we're going to move into the subject of tonight. We're also going to see if Brother Q is going to call in, and we can pick it up from there. Tip will speak on what she has to speak on tonight, and we'll get Brother Q's thought on it. And if you haven't listened to the show before, Brother Q is a strong-willed individual, has strong points, but listen to what he's saying because he comes from a great place with what he's putting out there. You know, some sisters may not like what he says, but his points have merit. And I do appreciate where he brings it from an intellectual place. So let's see if we can get the brother on. We're going to be back in two songs here on Reality and Relationships every Thursday night from 8 to 10 on GQ Palace Radio. That is Tiffany Braxton Belvin. She is Tiffany Braxton Belvin. I said that like you're an object. She is Tiffany Braxton Belvin. I am KL Belvin. We'll be back in two songs.
They can hate if they wanna. I don't care. Yeah. They can hate if they wanna.
You are now tuned in to Reality Relationships every Thursday from 8 to 10 p.m. with KL and Tiffany Belvin, GQ Palace Radio. It's better, baby.
They can hate if they wanna. I don't care. Yeah. They can hate if they wanna.
Yeah, this is Grand Agent, GrandAgent.net, Real Grand Agent, Twitter and IG. I'm in the GQ Palace, so as far as I can tell, it's all good. Let's do it, let's do it, let's do it.
Keep saying you can do better. Somebody else, hey. Saying I'm dangerous, but you can do that all by yourself.
Hey, everybody got something to say,
and you don't even wanna see why they talk so badly. I actually make you happy.
All that matters is a
and I don't even give a damn. I'm a better man, so they wanna hear me.
I wanna know. But right now you got a lot of Palace Radio.
For the things that I say, I talk about. And all I wanna love you, girl, in a special way. Come here, woman.
We've been together.
GQ Palace Radio.
Fantastic. Shout out to the GQ Palace radio staff who find some great music to listen to, man. That's what I'm talking about. Welcome back, everyone, to Reality and Relationships. This is KL and my lovely wife.
Hey.
Chose tonight's subject, so I'm going to let her rock because we saw this video the other night, and I thought it was interesting because I'm not into the whole hip-hop beefs and all this other foolishness. I'm really not. A lot of today's hip-hop I'm not into. But when there's a message or when there's a thought of something that grabs my attention, so we both watched it, and so my wife decided she wanted to speak on it. And Brother Q, if you're on, you can call in at any moment. We'll have you patch you right in. So until Q jumps on with his tip, go ahead and explain what you wanted to talk about tonight.
Now, the most interesting thing is I did not plan to talk about this on the radio until I started to see the backlash from the video. And as KL mentioned, he called me into the room. He said, I want you to come see this video. And we watched it together, I think, 3 times. And then I've watched it a few times by myself because when we like
now, which video? But which video? Fill them in on what video you're talking about.
I'm going to do that. I'm going to let people know that when we watch these videos, because we're not into the hip-hop beef, this and the other, we don't have time for that. But we like to dissect it and see what's the message, how we can apply it to the children that we deal with. Because, as you know, Kale's a teacher, I'm a mentor, and we need to know what's going on in the world in order to basically help our children in the community. So the video that I'm referring to is what is being called as the Beyonce diss. I found out a little bit of background information about the artist. She goes by the name Liv, L-I-V, but her name is Olivia McFaller. And the name of the song is Sorry, Mrs. Carter. And she begins to go through a battering. it's horrible. Because what's funny is, I respected her lyrical genius, because she really put some words down. I had to say, wait a minute, let me hear that again. And she really went at Beyonce something fierce. And I laughed, and the reason why I laughed is because after listening to it, I didn't even say anything, and Kale said, you know what, that's what you've been saying about Beyonce all this time. I said, thank you. It's like a light went on, that I've been saying the same thing that this young woman, this rap artist, is now saying in her video. Now, again, this wasn't what I was going to discuss today on the show, but the reason why I chose to discuss it is because as I went to Facebook, and it's so funny, one of my friends, my best friend Susie, she contacted me. She said, Tiffany, I'm surprised you haven't commented on your page yet about the video. She said, because how is this chick, the side chick, going to make a video like that and, you know, blast Beyonce, and, you know, she was about to go in. I said, wait a minute. I said, you got it twisted. I said, she's not the side chick. I said, did you listen to the lyrics? And what I started to see when people posted about the video, everyone is trashing the artist, Liv. Everyone's saying, oh, she's a side chick. Oh, she's trashy. She's a slut. She's this. She's that. She's that. I'm like, everybody got it twisted. And I said to somebody else, did you actually listen to the lyrics? In her lyrics, she's saying, I never slept with Jay-Z, but she had the opportunity to. Why? Because Jay-Z was hitting up on her. She is saying in her lyrics, I didn't choose to sleep with him because I wasn't impressed because he was a rap artist. Because she was also trying to be a rap artist, and she had better goals and better focus on her career than being the side chick of the rap dude. She's also saying to Beyonce, who we all know in many of her records and her albums, she sends subliminals. Beyonce always sends subliminals. We know when there's trouble going on between Beyonce and Sean because she puts it in her music. Let's be honest.
She just sang, what's her name? The young lady that's singing, Lauryn Hill's X Factor. Where she sang a part of that. There's a clip going around where she's like, no one can love you more than me. And it's actually, people didn't know that it was a Lauryn Hill song, X Factor. And I know the song extremely well because that's the song I was playing when I was going through some foolishness with my ex-wife. One of the things I want to jump in here and say also is that the fact that Beyonce puts out subliminals when there's things going up and down and there's rumors about them divorcing and stuff like that, and there's been rumors about Rihanna. The thing is, if folks would listen to her words, now I don't condone coming out and making a video like that to try to give yourself shine off of whatever's wrong in their relationship. I don't condone that. But I'm going to listen to what you put out and see what you're saying to see if there's something there that can be discussed that we can maybe help some kids with or help some folks with. And my biggest thing is, you're taking shots at this woman because you're trying to say, look at what your man is doing. And often I've noticed when trying to listen or deal with some folks, when people will say they'll check your man, automatically folks say you're hating.
Mm-hmm. So, yep.
You know, lead that to them and let them work that out. But I've always noticed that sometimes you got to listen to the people that you call haters and see if what they're putting out there is true, even though it may be the wrong way to put that information out there. That still doesn't change that the information came out. Listen, I don't care that this side chick put out Donald Sterling's information. We got to find out what Donald Sterling really thought.
Right.
and it cost him having to sell a team. He made $2 billion, but okay, whatever. So in this particular case, when I first heard it, because I've heard Tiff say, how come a married woman isn't taking more responsibility
with a child
and being that, and okay, well, you explain it, Tiff, because I know.
Right.
You explain what I'm talking about.
When Beyonce, see, I felt that Beyonce was trying to change her image to cater to the masses that want the film. That's what I believe. Because I used to love her music. I had Destiny's Child CDs. I have my alarm clock, and KL will affirm this. When our alarm clock went off, it would play Survivor every single morning. And that was my motivation to get up in the morning and do what I had to do for the day. So I liked Beyonce then. The Beyonce now, I don't recognize. And I'm sorry, because I've always said, you don't go from being on a status of singing at the inauguration of the President of the United States and revert to being a down-ass bitch. She, to me, you're going backwards. And that's exactly what she did. And Liv, the artist that did this video addressing Beyonce, is saying the same exact thing. You can't say in one breath that girls rule the world, but you throw in subliminals because somebody you think is sleeping with your man, or somebody is sleeping with your man, and you're not checking your man. Because if you continue to say, that's like me sending subliminals to someone on Facebook while I'm still laying in the bed with my husband, knowing my husband is doing dirt. You just don't do it. Not if you're trying to empower women. You need to get yourself together. You can't talk about run the world and women are independent and all the other stuff that she tries to do in order to uplift, she says, women. And then it's like you're talking out of two sides of your face. The other thing which Liv addressed are some of the lyrics in her most recent work, her self-titled album that came out late last year, the one that she dropped and nobody knew was coming. She had song with Partition. She had Drunken Love. I can't stand Drunken Love. Drunken Love is an insult to women. I mean, the things that she was saying, like surfboard, I had to start looking up the terms because, listen, I'm almost 40 years old. When it comes to slang and the things that people are using nowadays, the terms, I have no idea what they mean. So I had to look up what surfboarding mean, what watermelon meant, what I knew what Monica Lewinsky meant, but in reference to the surfboarding comment that Liv made in her video, she was absolutely right, because she said, you're a grown woman. You're a married woman. Why are you talking about grinding on your husband's penis? Why are you even discussing in a song what you do with your husband in the bed? Why are you discussing that when you perform oral sex on him, you swallow his ejaculation? Why? And that's basically what Beyonce is saying. And it's degrading. Then when she made the reference to Monica Lewinsky, and for those who I don't know how you could not know who Monica Lewinsky is, but she was the woman, the intern, that Bill Clinton wasn't having sexual relations with, but we all know was different. And apparently the story was that on an occasion when Monica Lewinsky was performing oral sex on Bill Clinton when he was the president, he ejaculated on her dress. So in Beyonce's song, she actually references someone, Monica Lewinsky, on her dress, which is degrading. If you don't know, because, and the thing is, our women today, they have embraced so many degrading things and made value out of it that they don't realize it's degrading. If you don't know it, I'm going to tell you today, a man ejaculating on you is an insult. Is disrespect. You don't want that type of image addressed to you. So the fact that Beyonce would want that in her lyrics and saying how someone Monica Lewinsky on her dress is disgusting. So I'm giving a high five, and I'm digging Live Up, and I'm probably one of the only females that's going to do it. Thank you for addressing her nonsense.
Well, I think what happens is, and here's where, as a person stepping back from this, I think it's the fact that Liv is speaking this, but at the same time selling her own sexuality in the video. So there's a subtle contradiction to what she's trying to say. She's criticizing Beyonce for not taking the lead in certain things, but yet you're in the hot tub, you're dressed seductively, you're showing off your own wares while saying someone else. See, so that's the problem I have with that, but the message is still valid.
Unfortunately, the messenger
needs to realize that, you know, you can't talk about somebody surfboarding when you sitting there buck naked drinking wine or whatever. I think one of the things that has to happen is, and I've listened to a lot of the defense of Drunken Love and a lot of things, is like she's a grown woman expressing her sexuality and, you know, dismissing all of that. And you know what? We live in a sexually charged world, but I hear women all the time say that men have dominated the world to where they've tried to create what they have created women to make objects out of women, and they subjectify women on a regular basis, and hip-hop medium does that on a regular basis. So what I don't understand is when I see women who have control or have gained control in a male-dominated arena, why they give in to yes. then create the very thing that they say they had to fight against to get there. Like Nicki Minaj is a perfect example, Beyonce. You know, I hear so often that, you know, men, if men can do it, I can do it. But then you turn around and say, but men treat women. I'm not saying be no prude. Now, of course, my own personal spiritual beliefs is such that I'm going to say I don't want to see any of it on television. But, okay, if you're going to put it out there, have a little more class and respect. But it goes back to the capitalistic part, because I've had friends, authors that I deal with who say, KL, sex sells, so that's what I'm going to do, or violence sells, so that's what I'm going to write. We have gotten so caught up in accolades and money and everything else that we're almost not caring what we put out. Like, if you listen to the Busta Rhymes remix of Partition, he said some things that a few years back were considered things you couldn't even say on the radio. When she swallows, she's on her knees and she swallows it and all this. And I'm like, whoa. So now we're just, there's no filters at all now. You could just say whatever.
Right.
And if Jay wants to pimp his wife,
and that's
do
exactly
you.
What he's doing.
And
exactly.
If she wants to put herself out there, do you. If as a couple, y'all want to expose yourselves in whatever form or fashion, do you. Because the one thing I have come to see is that it works. It works, because as much as people complain, Drunken Love stayed at number one for God knows how many weeks. We had a young lady even call in and try to get at me when I had spoke about Beyonce a few months back, whatever it was, and I respected her opinion. But and it's not the first song that you've heard like that. It's not the first person. It's just the idea that when you stand next to the president and you're at the inauguration of something that's supposed to be groundbreaking historically.
You're supposed to be above
happening.
That.
How do you then turn around and make a song about, you know, he likes me on my knees and whatever? And I'm like, where's that balance? Because I look at what effect that has on young kids. I started playing music in my PE classes because I found playing music got the kids moving more, got the kids more involved. So when I would play some of the older R&B, some of the smooth stuff, some of the, oh, B, come on, man, play my stuff. Okay, fine. I'd play their stuff, and I'm like, no. I'm like, no, the lyrics I can't play. So I started using iTunes, because iTunes I could set up where it didn't have the vulgar language, so I was able to let it play. But then I started listening closely to the lyrics of some of the top songs. And it started to bug me out. Like, yo, do you hear what they're saying about women? Do you hear what women are saying about themselves? But watching the girls, watching how the girls know every word. And like one young lady who's in the sixth grade has every Beyonce song. And I said, what are you listening to? And I took her iPad and I listened, iPod, and I said, your mom know you listen to this? She said, yeah, my mom loves Beyonce. And what does she have on? Partition. And I was like,
well,
nah. I said, nah. I'm like, nah. But she knew every word, and she's acting out the video. And the same thing with Drunken Love. They're acting out the video. Yo, it's like when Liv says you have the responsibility. I'm going to be honest with you. No, you don't. You really don't. You don't have the responsibility of raising anyone's children. I'm going to say that right now. I don't care what Jay-Z does. I don't care what Beyonce does. I don't care what anybody else does. They do not have the responsibility of raising KL. That is Tiff and my responsibility. Now, with that said, I would say when you have millions of people listening to you, I would suggest that you offer something that's not so devastatingly damaging to them. But if that's what you want to do, then you do whatever you feel you got to do, because you answer to whatever maker that you pray to. Because when people ask me how come I don't write or support certain things, because I say all the time, I got to answer to a higher power. That's just my choice. I'm no prude. But I'm not going to buy into, I got to expose it all to society so I can make a couple of dollars. She's making millions.
Now, see, okay,
I
disagree with my husband because I hate to say conservative, but I'm a little bit more conservative in the fact that when people say it takes a village, I think people have lost sight of what that actually means when they say it takes a village. Because there was a time, a long, long time ago, that you had to be accountable as an individual to your community. You couldn't just do whatever. You couldn't say whatever. You couldn't make rules.
How long ago was that?
It's been a long time. We have gotten away from that. But you know what? The further we get away from that, the more messed up our society is becoming.
And the more messed up our children are becoming. But should we ever allow? Okay. But here's the thing. What expectations can we put on entertainers? Your actions
affect the community and society as a whole. Let me ask you a question.
How should I be accountable? If I decide I want to make a song just pure filth, and I want to talk about all the nasty things I want to do to a woman, my wife, my girlfriend, the other chick on the block, and everything else, and I want to put that out there with a hot beat, I got to be responsible for you not checking your child. If I say up front, I slap a sticker on that says, very, very, very abusive lyrics in this joint right here, I still got to be responsible that your child hears?
Listen, so those artists, I'm answering. Those artists obviously don't care because the artists have done it.
Okay, but I'm saying if they don't care, but why should they be responsible for someone's child? Because they're not responsible for what you and I allow our children to hear. They're not responsible for the faith that we claim. So why should I extend that to say you have a responsibility? If people want to pay for trash, it's like if you go in a restaurant that tells you straight up, the food here is nasty, and you might get sick. Now, if I'm breaking laws, that's different. If you're breaking laws, you deserve to have everything taken from you. But I'm saying if the law says I could put 30% not real beef, and I can use 70-cent beef as long as I tell you. So you know what? I say we have 70% real beef hamburgers. And if you want to know what the other 30% is, we'll tell you. Is it whose responsibility if you sit down and eat? I mean, I feel sad that this young lady feels that this type of expression is needed, especially when she didn't start her career this way. She started her career speaking and saying that she was connected to a particular faith, that she wasn't going to make music that was degrading to women.
And if people don't know, I did
a bio piece. I was contracted to do a bio piece on Alicia Keys and Beyonce for a company that was doing biography books on entertainers. They did about 36 entertainers, and I was contracted to write the educational part to the Beyonce piece and the Alicia Keys piece. So I had a chance to view some of the things about Beyonce. And this is when she first went solo, left Destiny's Child, and it was the book talked about her heavy spiritual relationship with the Christian faith and so forth and so on, and how she had this character, Sasha Fierce, because she was deadly nervous, and she used that to kind of, you know, push herself out to perform. But she had talked about how she was always going to stay grounded to her faith because it was something that helped her to ascend in the area of music. So when I think about that, and I remember doing the educational part and writing in the different multiple choice questions, stuff like that. So when I see that and you go back, you look at what Destiny Child, you know, almost the kiddie music that they made. But then you turn around and see where it is now. When you see that now as a mother, how do you get to as a mother? See, this is what I'm concerned about. That as
a mother
you're creating, and a wife. But I can understand as a wife because you know what, your husband might have an influence on you. But I'm saying from mother to child, when you started out as a child who was firm with family, firm with your faith, to now, I'm gonna put this out here, and I'm not worried about the effects that it has on my child, or what it causes my child to think, or what it causes other young ladies to think. When you were someone who prided themselves on wanting to be an influential person. And I'm not going to get in all into the Illuminati and all that. That's, you know what? That's another conversation for another day, and you do whatever you want. If something's negative, it's negative. And if something is damaging, it's damaging. But I feel an entertainer has to only be responsible to themselves and to who it is they pray to. And if you don't pray to somebody who holds you to a higher standard, then do whatever you do and deal with the consequences whenever you have to deal with it. Because I think we put too much emphasis on entertainers, actors, and sports figures to be role models. They are not, because you cannot have a role model with someone that you have no personal contact with. See, that's what I'm about. If you can't actually sit with this person and talk to this person and get to know this person, how can the hell can they be their role model? Because of a made-up image that some organization or company put together? You can't. Can any of us really say we know Beyonce?
No.
Other than what they show us? So
right.
We might be seeing the real Beyonce now, and that person was the made-up person before they get in the door. We don't know. But I know you. I know the brothers that I speak to. I know people that I deal with. And the people that I deal with, I can look at them and say, that's somebody I'd like my son to emulate because I see the work that he's putting in. We know for a fact that part of the promotional thing is give to charity so you can get that photo out. Watch Thanksgiving. Everybody's taking a picture holding the turkey. Every homeless cat in the world eats good on Thanksgiving. What happens the days before, the days after? So I'm saddened because, you know, when Liz put out there, she's basically saying, listen to the songs that you're singing and look at how you're crying over this dude. And then she says, he made you the wife because it was part of his plan. And to me, that's not hating. That's something that you got to stop and look at and listen to. Wait a minute. Because have we not heard the rumors of him bedding down other women? Not saying they're true. Your sister tried to beat him down in the elevator, which everybody says, what makes a sister spaz out on her sister's, you know, to that extent, and then the sister not jump in and be like, yo, you wrong? See, because let's keep it real. If our sister spazzed and we didn't have an idea what's going on, you jump in like, what's wrong with you? I was about to curse you. What's wrong with you? So with all that being said, you know, there's two. I'm sorry, when there's enough smoke, now we keep hearing the rumor that as soon as this tour is over, they're going to break up and all this. And she's on stage and she's singing these sad songs. And remember, she was singing those sad songs before. And if it's a good ploy, hey, run with it. Because at the end of the day, none of us know who you really are, what you're really about. But I know what I'm hearing. I know what I see little girls doing because of what you're putting out there. And if you're okay with that, like I said, it's who you ever got to answer to. So, baby, let me ask you this.
Yeah.
KL comes in. She wants to play the hottest new Beyonce song in my nose, in my mouth, in my ears, and anywhere else my husband and his friends want. When she says, and I know you'll say, hell no, but when she says, why, Mom? It's just music. What happened?
First of all, I'm going to be a little bit more involved in KL's life. That she won't have access to that stuff. Like, it's funny because now that she's younger, you know, I turn on the TV. She doesn't really pay attention to what's going on. She'll see images on TV. But once she starts being able to sponge stuff and be able to repeat things and see things.
Hold on one second. Mm-hmm. And anyone that's listening, feel free to jump in and join Tiff and I's conversation. If you're listening on the website, just press 1. Oh, call in. I'm sorry. If you're listening from the website, you need to call in 646-200-3838 and just press 1 and let us know your thoughts. If you're listening in from the phone, if you got something you want to say, you want to add to this, you don't have to agree with us, but just be polite. That's all we ask. We'll be polite in return. Just press 1. Let the host know that you have something you want to say. Come on in and add your thoughts to this conversation. Q, if you're listening, feel free to just let the host know that you're there, and we'll put you right in so you can jump in and add your thoughts to this. Go ahead, darling.
So I'm not going to be one of those parents that my child is in the other room and I have no idea what's going on. And it's funny because my parents, they both, because people make the excuse, oh, I'm working, you can't be there 24-7. No, my parents weren't there 24-7. But when they were there, they made sure certain things were in place. No, KL is not going to have a run of the computer. She can just access anything. We will use parental control. No, she's not going to have a run of the television and watch whatever she wants. We will use parental control. That's what parental controls are there for. And I tell parents all the time, if you're not using parental controls in your home, you are doing a disservice to your children. If your child has a cell phone and they can access God knows what, when, where, and how, you would do a disservice to your child.
Because somebody else will show them, even if they don't know how, and you say, well, my son or daughter doesn't know how to use a phone that way, someone else's child will, because kids have friends, and Lord knows I've sat there many times and heard the type of peer pressure that is applied, and I have to step in and go, you do what you want to do, don't listen to that, but that's only what I hear. That doesn't
mean
it doesn't happen on a regular.
Every time I ask parents, why does your child have, if your child, because the big thing was after 9/11, everybody ran out to get their kids' cell phones, ran out because I need to know where they are, what they're doing. It's for safety reasons. If it's for safety reasons, why does your child need internet on their phone? Why does your child need text messaging on the phone? Why do they need anything that's going to affect them?
You can have the text and the phone, but you don't need all the extras if it's just really about emergencies. Because
if it's about safety, for all those parents that claim it's about safety, that I'm going to tell you you're full of sugar, honey, iced tea, you would not have it where your child has access to everything in the world at the touch of their hand. They can access porn. They can take pictures of themselves, their vaginas, their breasts, and send it to their friends. Your children do not need a camera on their phone.
I have seen 13-year-olds taking pictures of themselves and sending it. I have seen 13-year-olds taking sexual explicit videos and pictures, sending it to grown men, and not worrying because they're not worried about parents ever checking. And as a dean in the middle school, and Tiff knows because I come home and share everything that I have to deal with. And when I tell you that I've already dealt with pornography, where the young lady was so drunk high that she didn't know that the video was going on and looked right at the camera and then was like, are you videotaping me? And he's like, nah, go ahead, keep doing what you're doing. And then sure enough, you know, it is what it is. And I wish I hadn't even seen it, but we had to get the young men arrested that had put it out there because the young lady was underage. So I'm telling you, I have sat with kids who have said, my parents don't know. I've sat with kids where one young man has said, if you don't do this to me, I'm going to put out the video that I took of me and you doing whatever. So instead of just saying no, I'm going to tell somebody, the young lady go ahead and does whatever the sexual act the young man wanted because he had the peer pressure work.
So
and,
she's
you know,
basically now being violated. She's being violated. And the crazy thing is the parents who claim they got their children's cell phones so they could keep their children more safe. How safe is your daughter being violated when somebody threatens to expose her and makes her perform oral sex on them? For not exposing them.
Yeah, and the father and mother was too cool. The father and mother was too cool about it when we had the meeting, because I personally would have jumped up and tried to choke my man out. But, you know, we did say, you know, be easy, we're going to deal with this. But I personally would have said, yeah, sure. And then as soon as my man saw, I'd have jumped over the table and did my man in. Now, you may be listening and say, what does any of this have to do with the music? The music becomes the jump off. The music becomes the starting point to a lot of this. When you see sexually explicit songs being played hundreds of times a day, and Vine, just look at the clips that you see on Facebook of all the different sexually explicit songs that are made into funny clips. That means the creators of those funny clips, which are most time young adults, had to listen to the song to be able to line up the clip and line up the song. And some songs have become famous because of Vine, and now it becomes more exposed. And you would be surprised how 7 seconds worth of video, what effect it has on our kids. I mean, it has a tremendous, I watched them. I had a homeroom this past year with special ed students. And when I would sit and listen to them every morning, the conversations that they had, that I would have to remind them, what did I say about the sexual talk? No cursing. Now, I'm not going to take away their freedom to have discussions with each other. But I would say, if y'all get a little too explicit, I'm going to jump in here. Y'all already know what it is. So they would say, yo, did you see the video with that chick that did whatever? Did you see the video with the guy that did whatever? Do you know that song? And then when I watch them in the gym and watch how they know the lyrics to every song, you know, it's, you've got to understand the effect that this stuff has. Now, I do not fight against an entertainer's right to produce it. You have the right. I am not going to sit here and take away anyone's right to produce. You have the right to produce it. I got a problem with parents. I'm not going to fight with I'm not going to argue with the entertainer. You make what you want. Make what you want. But I got a problem with the parents. And as parents, we got to start stepping up and say, Beyonce, I know you're talented. I'm not letting my child listen to this. I'm not letting my child listen to you. I'm not letting my child even be engaged in you in any way. Because I just don't see enough of what I need to see for my child to understand what you're putting out there. I'm not doing it. And I don't care if the rest of society say, well, how you going to hate? Well, then I'm hating. How you going to deny your child? Then I'm denying.
Mm-hmm.
You a holy roller? Then I'm rolling holy. Whatever you want to call me, fine, because I'm not doing it. Like, I've never got caught up into entertainers. I've never been starstruck. To me, it was like, I'm supposed to dig you because you exercising the talent that was given to you? Nah, man, that's not special to me. Surgeons are special to me. People in the armed services who are risking their lives and trying to protect the rights of folks who do stupid things. Nah, those are real heroes. But you know what? We live in a society where, you know, sex sells. Violence sells. And you could become famous. Our reality shows are laced with it. Love and hip-hop, whatever, is based on ignorance, sex, and violence. And you got cast that lineup. Scandal, number one show on television. The side chick who's humping the president, who's got, she's in, oh, Olivia Pope is so, the way she get down, the way she tell the president, this is, if you want this coochie, you got to kill 3 people to get it, and the president be drooped. Come on, man. I ain't even got to watch the show. And the funny thing is, I have yet to see an episode, but know more about it because of the post. And we do our show on Thursday night, so I don't get the chance to watch it. But when I go back and look at the post, you can watch the whole show just from the post.
Absolutely. Not even,
and know what's going on. But you know what? Mm-hmm. Why? Because it sells. But what's the damage? What are we giving up? Can we really complain when we see another twerk video? And if one chick gets 10,000 likes, then somebody else says, well, I'm going to twerk naked. Maybe I can get 20,000 likes. Because remember, we had the conversation on the same show,
mm-hmm,
about kids arguing about being Facebook famous. I had a conversation with a group of kids. I said, what the hell is Facebook famous? They said, B, are you Facebook famous? I said, what do you mean? Like, when you put up a post, you get like 20, 30 people that like it? I said, I don't pay attention to that. Why? So one of the kids said, I went by, actually, I had my Facebook open on my phone. I remember that's why the kid said, B, you got a Facebook page? You want to add me? I was like, no. So they was like, I think I had put up a picture of my daughter. That's what it was. I was showing the kids a picture of my daughter. And they was like, yo, 160-something likes? Yo, B, you famous. I said, what? said, okay. I said, okay, I bite. I'm going to bite at the apple. What's this fame get me? Like, what's and they said, well, Facebook fame means that people paying attention to you. That's hot. I said, okay, but what's that gain me? They said, gain what? I said, what do I get from being famous? I can't get no job with that. I can't make no money. He said, yeah, but people like you, and then people start to look for more of your statuses, and you get more people, and then, you know, you become, you know, popular. I said, this is what's hot in the streets? Really? And then we go back even further when Left on Scene. Another foolishness that I heard. And I said, what's Left on Scene? Facebook added, if somebody has seen your status, you now can see that. Or, you know, someone looked at your post, you can see that they've seen it. So I post something and it says, Tiff seen it at 9:30. So the girl said, I hate when I'm left on scene. And I'm sitting there looking retarded. I said, left on what? She said, Mr. B, you never been left on scene? I said, whoa. Y'all speaking a foreign language to me. What is left on scene? She said, you know, when you write to somebody and you see that they saw it and then they don't say nothing. I said, okay, so what? What you mean, so what? That's so messed up. Oh, my gosh, I hate that. Hate what? Being left on scene. And I was like, okay, you can't be serious. I'm like, I'm trying to get my brain to release and get slower.
Let me tell you, when KL first explained it to me, my brain was hurting. Like, I can't believe that children, and I can't believe that parents allow their children
to soak up
the foolishness. And that's the problem. That's why I said, that's the problem.
Actually, I take that back. No, that's not true. Some of the parents know, because we run into the 40, 50-year-old
chick
that's still trying to hang on, got the baby hair popping, lip gloss shining. Ma, stop. You somebody's grandma. Trying to hold on. And it's like, okay. And it's, you look 16 clothes-wise, but your face is clearly 61. What are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
And then you hear some people talk, and they talk exactly like their child.
Like the kids, yes.
And you go,
awful.
What are you doing? And then it makes you understand, that's who is responsible. Because when your mom is in a video talking about, yo, turn that S up, junk in love, and they losing it. And the child is saying, I have seen twerk videos where the child has said, mommy, you nasty. But mom is still pop-locking the booty in the background.
Mm-hmm. Or the child is holding the camera.
The camera. I've seen kids ride by on their little big wheel. Move, you in my video. It's like, wait a minute. That's not Beyonce's fault. Because who got this child pregnant? And where he at? And how come they not sitting down and understanding the damage that's being done to their children? See, now if you want to have that conversation about the Illuminati and all this other foolishness, go ahead. Because as I said, and I had it written on my wall at another school I used to work at, I had a quote from Hitler over my desk. And the person said, how do you have a quote of Hitler over your desk? I said, did you read the quote? And the quote said, I do not have to worry about their parents because I have their children. And I said, did you read it? And they was like, wow. Hitler said, and I'll say it again, I do not have to worry about their parents because I have their children. Remember, Hitler employed his little junior SS. These were kids that he used to go rat on their parents if they thought they were doing something. Because he knew, what was a parent going to do against their child? They weren't going to kill their child. They weren't going to do it. So he knew he had you. And you've got to understand that, you know, and now I'm going to speak scripturally, as the Lord tells you to be careful what you allow the children to get involved in. Be careful of what you allow them to do. And it says that if you allow them to fall into sin, you might as well kill yourself. And I believe that, because when you see the damage that is done to a child, when you allow them to just get into anything that's negative, and you still want to produce more of that, then that's on you. Because you cannot tell me that you don't think something negative is not going to happen. That's why if any entertainer wants to stand there when they know they got kids watching, and say, ooh, put this in your mouth. Ooh, put this in your what? Ooh, let me do this. Or some dude stand there and he go, my daughter's at home, but I don't let her listen to what I do. But ooh, let me stick it here. Ooh, let me do this. Come on now. You can't have it both ways. You know, it can't be that way. And that's why when Liv put that video out, and I listened to it, and I listened to it a third time myself, is that, yes, she was like shouting at Jay-Z saying, would these chicks that you're hollering at, that wanting to be with you, would they be with you if you didn't have that money?
Right, right.
Be with you if you wasn't famous? And you done worked it to where you done got Beyonce beating people down for you when you ain't no good.
Right.
And she turned it around and said, but Miss Carter, you don't even realize the game. He done wifed you. And what made it simple to me is that I've seen dudes do that. And anybody listening, let's keep it real. I have heard dudes say, yo, you got to get her pregnant, son. You get that one pregnant, yo, she good. She going to make pretty kids for you. Not take care of her, not be with her. Yo, get her pregnant so she can't go nowhere. I've seen dudes go around to get chicks pregnant because they want to see themselves or see what type of babies they can make. Don't act like this ain't real, because it is.
Listen, I grew up in a project. I used to hear it all the time. All the time.
Yo, Ma, we need to make a baby. We got songs where cats are like, let's go half on a baby. Go half on a baby like you buying a sandwich? I'm sorry. Let's go half on a baby. Let's go do this. Yo, these things suggest things to kids that they don't understand the repercussions. But you know what? You got the right to make it. You really do. But don't stand in front of me and say you care about the kids. Don't sit there and tell me you run the world. Don't sit there and tell me, you know, it's about uplifting and it's about being empowered. What's empowering about lust? You want to empower me? Show me that you're in love to such a degree that you don't give in to the norm. When everybody is making sexual songs and your man is linked to this one, that one, I have learned a long time ago, if 100 people say they had sex with you, 10 to 15 did. 10 to 15 or more did. 100 people ain't just standing around saying they had sex with you for no reason. And the funny thing is, it's going to be the 10 to 15 that you're not even thinking about. So come on, this cat has a history of whatever. You married him? Okay, cool. But then when you married him, we heard the Rihanna situation. We hear now that, you know, it's whatever, your sister trying to beat him down. That's just too much. And let's be real. Did y'all not know that the security camera's in there? Jay did. He ain't going to wild out and hit her back. Ask my man from the Ravens what happened when he opened up that elevator door and dragged his wife out.
He carried her out.
Carried out. And we still don't know what's on the video. And everybody is saying, well, maybe she was trying to beat him down in the elevator. Either way, she came. She didn't walk out. So now he lost two games, and the whole country is yo, how you going to beat your wife down? So Jay was smart. Jay knew there was cameras in there. Nah, I got a bodyguard to you. So Lawrence is flipping. And a sister doesn't flip like that just because. That ain't just I had a couple of drinks. That's being fed up. That's when you cross that line to your sister's, your family member's spouse. When you cross that line, it's because they crossed the line. And then you start putting two and two together. Even if this is the greatest marketing ploy ever, why would you put it out there like that?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not shocked. I wouldn't be shocked if they sit down and say, yo, because Tip and I joke about it. Tip and I say, you know how much more money we'd make if I was single?
Yep. I say it all the time.
We actually joke that, yo, we should put up statuses that we done with each other and that, yo, KL ain't no good or whatever, just to see who show up and be like, word, KL. I knew Tip wasn't the right
one. He would sell 1,000 books.
Yeah.
Before the end of the day, he would sell 1,000 books.
Word, KL, she left you? I'll buy 3 books, baby. You okay? I'm so lonely. You a good man. Let me buy 5 more books. Where you staying? I'm going to come to the hotel room and pick them up at 1 in the morning, half naked.
Wait a minute, the better line. Let's meet for lunch.
Yeah, let's meet for lunch at 2 in the morning. You know, just like the same dude who's on Tiffany's page that's not on mine. How you doing, Mom? How you on her friends list and not on my friends list, but you cool with me? You don't think I see that?
No, they don't. You know? That's how stupid they are. They don't think you, they don't think that you know, because they don't think I share with you. Just like the females don't think you share with me. And it's funny because those females smile in my face and I smile right back. It's okay.
Exactly.
But you,
exactly.
you step foot in my yard, and you're gonna find out why they call me Little B
shovel.
And him Big Dog.
You get that shovel, like that chick hit that chick in the head with the shovel, and she's like, I can't hear. Oh, you was the woman a minute ago until she got that shovel. Now you got hit in the head with the shovel. You become soft.
I stayed on you don't want to play the game with me because my game has no rules. So take
exactly.
it however you want to take it.
Yo, let me tell you something, man. Tiff is ruthless. Y'all say what y'all want, man. I don't mess with Tiff. Tiff is ruthless. And we talked about it before, man. Once I got caught cheating, Tiff made love to me in the morning, and I was on the way to work, and just straight up was like, "Yo, why you cheating on me?" What? What are you talking about? And then said the chick's name. She said, "Oh, you're not cheating on me? Just tell me the truth." "No, I'm not. What are you talking about? Stop playing." She's like, "Okay, who's Adrian?" Who? You got names? I was done, and she had me.
That was KO Bill Clinton moment. That's what we call it.
Yeah, man.
He kept
praying.
He did not have sexual relations with that woman.
I did not have sexual. She said, "Well, she's so happy she's not pregnant. How you have sex?" I was like, "Oh, you read the email."
He was still holding on to the lie.
Yes. I was like most dudes, I ain't going out until you present proof. Oh, the blue dress. Okay, maybe I might have ejaculated, but I didn't.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, if anybody listening, yes, Tiff had that, and I didn't sign out of an email. I hit X. I didn't actually sign out. So when Tiff sat down to send an email from a site, it basically popped up to me, and she's like, "Oh, okay, his email's still signed in," and she went and looked. And there was the proof that I had been cheating. But Tiff took it one step. Instead of coming in and killing me while I was sleeping, she thought about it, went to sleep, got up in the morning. We made passionate love. That's what I'm talking about. That's the way to start the morning. Good morning. That's what I'm talking about. It's better than breakfast. And as we ride to work, I wonder why she's so silent. I'm chipper, just having my life beat out. What's up,
baby?
She was
singing. The radio was loud.
She just turned like a horror movie. Like her body was straight and her head turned. Yeah. Like her shoulders didn't turn. Her head turned. Like a horror movie. It was like, "Why you cheating on me?" "What?" Stop playing. She wouldn't turn her head. She wouldn't turn her shoulders. She's like, "I'm not cheating on you." She said, "Just tell me the truth." I was like, "I'm not cheating on you." Now you got to understand, people. You do not give it up until the officers present you with evidence.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've dealt with police. I know they'll say whatever. I'm not really being arrested yet. She said, "Well, then who is Adrian?" "Oh, the shot to the chin. He's dazed."
Mm-hmm.
I said, "That's just a friend of mine. Why? What? I don't understand where you're going with this. But why is she so happy that she's not pregnant? She went to the doctor and everything's cool." "Ooh, he's down to one knee. The referee steps in to give him an 8 count. I had no comment. I was like, I'm gonna wait. And before I could say anything else, she said, "You know what? When you get to my house, come pick up all your stuff. I'm done." And she made sure she timed it that she got her last comment out as she was at the train station. So if I would have spazzed out, she still could get to work.
Yeah.
So she's getting out, I'm like, "Baby, wait, talk to me." She's like, "Just get all your stuff out, to hell with you," and slammed the door. I went to work all shook up. I was so shook up that my principal gave me the first period off to get myself together and said to me to this day, "I've never seen you that emotional." She's like, "Wow." And my man, let me tell you how bad it was. My road dog, my man Kurt, who knows where all the dirty deeds was done, all the bodies was buried, he was sitting at my desk, and he saw how emotional I was that he said, "Dude, I'm sorry." He said, "What you apologizing for?" He's sorry just to see me messed up. Like, wow. I'm like, "Yo." He apologized. That's how shook up I was. But we eventually, Tiff heard me out. I apologized. We were able to work things out. So all I'm saying is that, you know, you control what goes on.
Yeah.
And the couples that allow their kids to be influenced by this, that's your fault. Beyonce is not supposed to raise your kids because your kid doesn't have a back and forth with Beyonce. That's a one-sided deal. Now, I want to say this before we get off the air as we're wrapping this up, because I'm going to be extremely, extremely honest. You cannot have a role model that you don't have a mutual relationship with. Now, you can have someone that you look to. You can have a motivator. Now, Beyonce can be a motivator for your child. I want to be as large. I want to be as talented. I want to be as professional. I want to be as well-known. That could be a motivator for your child. But you cannot say, I want to be somebody if you don't actually have a connection with them or see enough from them to know who they are. And I say that about anybody because you really don't know anyone. You can only judge a person by the works that they put out. Now, I can tell you, I've seen enough from Denzel Washington to know that's somebody that I wouldn't have a problem my son emulating. Now, that doesn't mean that he might not have his own demons in the closet. But I've seen enough of what he's done movie-wise. I've seen enough of what he's done in public. I've seen what he's done in private to make a difference. We have Debbie on the line.
Okay.
Come on, Debbie, chime in.
Debbie?
Got about a couple of minutes left.
Here. Hey, Debbie, how
are you? What's up, Debbie? How you doing?
I'm good. Oh, you guys make me feel so special. It's a great topic tonight. I've been listening for a while.
You.
Right. It's
Thank
phenomenal.
You.
Really. And, you know, God works in mysterious ways because usually I'm doing another show and it's not on right now. So I'm like, wait a minute, Chief Kupal is running through the door. Wait, grab the phone. Come on, now listen. Right. But you're right about the role model. Right. This is so true. This is absolutely
Thank you.
True.
Thank you.
Very, very
well,
true.
You know, there's Charles Barkley said it years ago, and I'm a big Charles Barkley fan of what he does on the basketball court. I don't really care what he does in his private life. But when he made the statement, I'm nobody's role model, so don't try to hold me up to that because I'm not going to live to the standards that you would like me to live, people really took him to task. I didn't. I really appreciate. I loved it when he said it. And I was young enough but still smart enough to understand that what he was saying is, I am who I am. I'm not going to be who you want me to be. Because this is what I do for a living. You don't know me. And he said, you shouldn't want me as your child role model because you don't know me. And I've always held on to that, is that a role model should be someone that your child at least has interaction with some way so they can get something back when they have questions. It should be parents first or at least a teacher, someone tangible. So when a kid goes, well, why can't I have sex with 16 women? Man, listen, are you trying to get AIDS? Now let me explain to you why that's not smart. But if you don't have that interaction, what can I go on? Just the works that you put out there? Well, if the works start to seem a little negative, do you really want that person leading your child?
No.
So, Debbie, let me ask you a question, because you heard us talking about Beyonce. So what's your thoughts on a married woman with a child with the type of lyrics that right now is out there, along with, you know, you've heard of music, so, but what's your thoughts on that right there?
Well, she's trying to appeal to different genres.
Gotcha.
And it's almost like Madonna, you know. Madonna is one of the most incredible mothers that is out there, and yet when we look at all that she's done and what she's put forward, it's like you separate the two. There's like the talented artist, and then there's a person who's actually a real person. Who's that cute little baby in the background?
That's our co-host, my daughter.
With whether people are famous or not, you know, we just wear different hats in different ways, and you try and be the best role model that you possibly can. And I think everybody kind of, not advocating or condemning or anything like that, but I am saying that people are, especially famous people, or even just regular people, we have to put on different hats at different times. But if we hold true to our own values with the people that are close to us, that would be our family, our friends, our kids, you know, and what it is we put forward to them,
Well, that's what it's all about. That's what I gotta say.
Gotcha.
I mean, it's difficult to say. I've been spending a lot of time listening to Whitney Houston. I don't know about that, but I just have to say, the artists, they have their own persona when they're performing, and then in real life, you know, it's almost like Angelina Jolie, you know, and Brad Pitt. I mean, they are off doing these whacked out movies, you know, that I even have a hard time watching. But yet, they're, you know what I mean? They're like incredible parents. And so they have...
Do we know them to be incredible parents?
Yes.
Or is that what they allow us to see?
Well...
Do we actually know? Because we do find out years later how many of these Hollywood kids then tell us that they didn't grow up in such beautiful situations.
Well, this is true. There's actually a lot of people. I mean, look at Michael Jackson, for goodness sakes. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
And then we find out later what everybody's been going through.
That's the reason why I tell folks to be careful with entertainers as role models. Because when you have enough money, you can orchestrate anything that you like. We know that there's spin doctors who can create any type of situation that they want until the truth really comes out. So when the truth comes out, we're almost shocked with some of the things that we hear, is because there's still no cure for reality, meaning that you get busted somewhere you ain't supposed to be. You can't spend that. You can't spend if you drunk and you tear up your car, you do whatever, you quartered a whorehouse or, you know, whatever. You can't spend that. But until that happens, you can make anybody think anything if you have enough money and you create enough situation, unless you just lose your mind. That's why I'm a little leery when it comes to folks on, especially when you talk about Jay-Z and Beyonce's level. They can do things that other folks couldn't even think about doing because of their money, so you would actually never know. I tell that with the kids when I'm talking about HIV when I bring up Magic Johnson. When people say, well, Magic Johnson has a cure, I say, no, you just don't see Magic on the bad days when the virus is winning, because he has enough money to be able to not have to come and work for a week or two while he's dealing with whatever. And then once he's passed a bout of whatever, he can now get back on and do whatever. So you don't know what he's actually dealing with the virus, but he's not going to come out and say, I had a two-week bout with diarrhea today, or I had, you know, I was vomiting for a week and a half. He's not going to tell you that. Now, later on, if he gets sick or ill, which we've seen with entertainers, then we know something's wrong. You can't hide it. You can't spin it. Now we deal with it, and all of a sudden, the truth starts to come out. That's what you learn with a lot of these biopics that come out. You go, wow, like, I didn't know so much about Ray like that until I saw the movie. I didn't know a lot about Jackie Robinson until I saw the movie on that level. You just don't know. But, Debbie, listen, we have one other caller, because I keep you on until we finish up. You guys got to call in early, man. We want to get y'all on for a couple of minutes and let y'all rock out, because y'all are great. But we want to get one more call in before we close out. But, Debbie, thank you so much. Give the folks some information about yourself, Debbie.
Well, I am I'm a mom first. I got to put that forward. God is my best friend. I have to say that first and foremost. I am recovering from a broken foot, which I have to say, with all the prayers around the world, has been healing. I had a second X-ray, and I've got some total healing that's going on, and still some injuries. But you know, I'm hobbling around on my cute little crutches, kind of doing what I can and helping as many people as we possibly can. I'm a Kirby sales and representative. I go that way, and I'm just a child of God, most of all, and as many people as I can help as possible. So that's
thank you so much, Debbie. But listen, make sure that you share our information with folks. Make sure you tell folks to come and check us out every Thursday from 8 to 10. Tell them to call in. Tell them to give their thoughts and views. We'd love to hear it. And we're going to continue to do the
things that we do. I already shared it worldwide. You're already getting shared worldwide. Right.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Debbie, because we're going to move on. But thank you so much. We hope to hear from you next week and then on.
Definitely. I'll be on a little earlier, I think. Right.
There you go. We're on from 8 to 10. So we look forward to hearing from you.
God bless you guys and for the topic that you're putting forward, because so many people will pick up from what you're saying, truly.
Thank you.
So
thank
much.
You.
Thank you, Debbie.
You're welcome.
That's Debbie, everyone. All right. We're going to move on, because we've got all our callers who'd like to call in at the last couple of minutes. We got Rachel on the line. We're going to let Rachel jump in on here. We got about five.
Hey, Rachel.
Hi. How are
hey.
You?
Hey,
good.
Rachel.
How are you?
I am good. Thank you. Thank you. A little tired, overworked, but it's all right. God got me. God got me.
Yes, he does.
Yes, I was listening to the show, and oh my goodness, you two always have great topics, great discussion. I love just sitting back and listening to the two of you, especially after a night of our show, and my show is Love Fantasy with the Diva Squad. We air on Wednesday nights. And
yes. After
all of that talking, and I just got my voice back after being, you know, not having a voice for 5 days. So I love sitting back and just listening to you two, the vibe from you two. I'd like to say that you two are great role models. I want to be like
you
two when I grow up. When I grow up and get married.
Wow.
The show was fabulous. I really love listening to the two of you and continued success. And God bless you on the baby. And
thank you.
She wants to get in too. She's like, don't forget me.
I heard her when she woke up. Definitely, I enjoyed the show tonight. Great topic, great conversation. I look forward to tuning in for a little bit longer next week. I will be calling a little earlier.
Definitely. We're working on having a couple of guests that are going to come in. And one of the young ladies, the books that she's written, deals with the subject that Tip talked about earlier about finding out that your significant other might actually be a family member because there were secrets and lies that was withheld. And Tip has another friend that's we're working on getting on because we want to present things that people can take away from. And that's actually what we try to do every week is we want to share as much as ourselves as we can because we really want to be role models. We're not shying away from that. We actually enjoy being mentors. And I just posted on my page the other day that I connected with one of my fellow students, that my former student, and one of the things that he said is I remember all the things that he taught me when we were in the school, and here it is 4 years later. And he carries around in his phone the movie Gladiator. And I said, well, why? He said, because he taught me about honor. I'd be trying to show my friends what honor really is, and I try to show them with this movie the way you showed me, and they don't be getting it how, yo, he got knocked down, he was in jail, but, yo, he never gave up being honorable. And I always think about when you ask that question, what does it mean to be honorable? And you would always remind me that being honorable has nothing to do with how much money you have, and it's how you carry yourself. And here 4 years later to hear him say that, I was like, this is why I do what I do. And Tiff, the same thing. One of her mentees comes to the house and is now watching KL for us, but she started 4 years ago when she was 16, and now she's actually coming to keep an eye on our child, and this is our way of trying to help going for her. So this is what we're doing. This is why I'm big on telling folks, don't let people that you don't have access to raise their children, because you don't know who they are.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know what they're hiding. You don't know. We find out all the time that some very rich folks have some very sick behavior. But because they were rich. And I want to share one thing why I got you on the line and why anybody's listening. Deion Sanders said this, and I will repeat it and I'll keep repeating it. Deion Sanders said, whatever you are before you get rich, all that changes when you get rich is you become more of that. So he said, if you are a whoremonger, your money now allows you to whore on levels that you never dreamed possible and hide it. He said, If you are a pervert, you can become a greater pervert because your money will allow you to hide that you're a pervert. You can do things that people won't ever know about. He said, so money doesn't do anything but grant you greater access to whatever you were before the money came. He said, that's why so many folks have such colossal fails, because the money exposes things about them that you didn't know. And then when they self-destruct, then we go, what's going on here? It's because then who they really are is what you get to see. And I never forgot that, because he had to go to that, and he was in his car, flipped upside down from drinking, driving, and doing drugs after messing with women that he shouldn't have. And he said, my wife hung in there with me through all of that is why I had to clean myself up and get myself together, because my wife stayed with me when she did not have to.
Wow.
And this is what Tiff and I try to present to the world about our own relationship, is that we've overcome a lot of things that people say is impossible, but is doable. But they got to want to do it, and then they got to have a foundation of faith or something else that's greater than the two of them to be able to take it.
Exactly.
Exactly.
This is what we bring to the table or attempt to bring to the table. So when Tiff told me what the subject was going to be tonight, I didn't even know. She had already been on the poster on the page. She didn't even say to me, Big Dog, we're going to talk about. I just look up and said, tonight, we dealing with this. I'm like, okay. Okay, I guess that's the wrap up. That's the wrap up music.
That's the wrap it up.
That's the y'all got to get ready to go music. I ain't mad at that. But
well,
it is 10 o'clock.
Fabulous show.
It
thank
is. Thank you.
You
so much, Rachel.
Thank
but before you,
you
leave,
You're
Rachel,
welcome.
Let everybody know about your show time and place so they can listen and tune in.
Yes, Wednesday night, Love Fantasy with the Diva Squad, myself, T, and Angie from 8 to 10. We play slow jams, R&B music, and talk about great topics. And the second hour of the show is where I do Diva Mail and Finish This Phrase. We have a lot of fun, and we have a great time. Wednesday night, 8 to 10.
Gotcha. Well, listen, we definitely appreciate it and definitely appreciate you stopping by. And so definitely check out the Diva Squad on Wednesday night, guys. Same station, same phone number. Just make sure you check them out on Wednesday night. Great group of young ladies. You'll definitely enjoy yourself. So, Tiff, it
yes,
is
sir.
10 o'clock. It is 10 o'clock. So I'm just going to simply say to anyone listening, I'm going to repeat, please do not allow entertainers, sports figures, or anybody else that does not have direct connection to your children to raise your children. You decided to have them. You have to raise them. Now, with that said, I still feel that entertainers have the right to do and say whatever they want because it is not on you to raise my child. So I'm not going to take away your right or even stomp on it. I'm just simply going to say that baby that you hear in the background is my responsibility. So I don't care what you put out. I just won't listen to it or allow it in my home, and that's it. So that is what I'm going to end with tonight. And Tiff, since you brought this to the table, baby doll, you end it. You close us out.
I'm just going to say, as Austin said, it takes a village to raise a child. We really need to embrace what that means, and that means that we have to represent our communities and be more accountable for what we put out there because we have future generations that we need to be accountable for. So with that, this is Reality and Relationships every Thursday, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Good night and God bless.
Good night.
You are now tuned in to Reality and Relationships every Thursday from 8 to 10 p.m. with KL and Tiffany Velvet, GQ Palace Radio. It's better, baby.
Better than this.
We've had some ups and downs, made a lot of bad mistakes, but we've always had some good times, and through it all, you helped me down.
Reality and relationships.
Baby, you've always helped it down. Oh yeah.
There were times when I was afraid and wanted you to leave. But you stayed right here by my side. You never let me go. You always stayed around.
You are now tuned in to Reality and Relationships.
You stayed around.
And you've been so good to
and
me.
And it doesn't matter how low. Whatever comes our way, you know. You and me, we gon' stay together.
We know
each other so well. You always.
tuned in to Reality and Relationships every Thursday from 8 to 10 p.m. with KL Tiffany.